the fight for us in high, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Hear that? That's Old Man Winter doing his level best to make you wish you were down in the South Sea, sitting under a palm tree and enjoying the warm sun. But you don't have to let Old Man Winter lick you. Not by a long shot. Wear plenty of good warm clothes and eat the kind of food that'll do a championship job of helping you keep warm even when the thermometer does a power dive. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to have a hot cooked breakfast. Not at all. The temperature of the food you eat hasn't a thing to do with the important job of helping you keep warm. If that was all that mattered, a glass of hot water would make a good breakfast. Now, it's the amount of fuel energy units in the food that helps protect you from the cold. So if you prefer those extra satisfying Wheaties flakes for breakfast, there isn't a reason in the world why you shouldn't go right on enjoying them the whole year around. You see, Wheaties, milk, and fruit make a fuel energy breakfast, a dish that gives you an abundant supply of heat-producing units to help you keep warm. In addition to the fuel energy nature is packed into Wheaties, you also get every bit of the other well-known essential nourishment of choice whole wheat. So if you like a breakfast dish you can eat every morning the whole year round, one that combines a whale of a lot of good bodybuilding nourishment with a swell flavor, make that breakfast of champions a regular on your breakfast table. And say, why not start tomorrow morning? Just remind Mother to get you 2 or 3 packages of Wheaties and your favorite fruit. Add milk or cream to the list, and you've got the makings of a super special breakfast of champions. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. The schooner Spindrift is tied up at the waterfront of the Philippine town of Zamboanga in Mindanao. Uncle Jim has gone ashore to turn over his precious uranium-235 to the safekeeping of the army troops at Pettit Barracks. Jack and Billy and Betty and the Filipino Michelle are on the Spindrift packing their hiking equipment for a dangerous trip into the interior to obtain information on the missing Professor Laurie. Right now, however, they are all on deck watching a sailing Vinta approach. In this Vinta is the unprincipled trader Yates and a native Moro. Jack and the others are puzzled as to why Yates is seeking them out. Listen.
Gee, Willikins, Jack, why in thunder do you imagine Yates is coming over toward us?
I don't know, Billy, but we'll certainly find out soon. Look how fast his Vinta is skimming over the water.
You wouldn't think he'd have nerve enough to look us in the face again after what he tried to do in Cotabango.
Tried to do? Gee, Monetti, Betty, he just about did do everything he could. First he betrayed the morals he was living with, and then he tried to wreck our ship and the breakers, and then he stole the Dragon's Eye ring.
You haven't said it all yet, Billy. Don't forget he trapped you in the quicksand, and he wanted to sick that hungry crocodile on us, too.
And after all that, here he is coming to see us.
We'll have to keep our eyes open when he's around, Jack. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw a hippopotamus.
He's coming to us from that Filipino schooner anchored over there, Billy. I wonder if that's his schooner. He's in the trading business, you know.
But he didn't have that schooner in Cotabango, Jack. He must have picked it up since then.
No, I wish Uncle Jim were here. If Yates is up to some mean trick, Uncle Jim would soon find out about it.
Well, of course, we wouldn't find out about it, too, Betty. We haven't got eyes, and we haven't got ears, and we're so dumb.
Well, anyway, we've got Michelle. He's our prize secret.
What do you mean, Jack?
Maybe I didn't tell you, but Michelle can speak the dialect around here.
Is that right, Michelle? Can you understand these Moros and Visayans and whatnot?
Me understand them, Señor Billy, but they not think so.
That's where the secret comes in, Billy. Everyone can see that Michelle comes from Manila, way up to the north. He's a Tagalog. And no one here would ever think a Tagalog could speak the local dialect. It's so different.
Say, we've got something there. Michelle, don't you ever let them know that you can understand them.
Me not, Señor Billy. Me be plenty dumb. Me say, all the time.
Yates is getting close, Jack.
Now look, he's letting down a sail. He is going to come aboard.
We'll let him come aboard, Billy. We'll let him talk all he wants to. Maybe we can find out just what he's doing in Zamboanga with that trading schooner.
Spindrift, ahoy!
Ahoy there, Yates. What do you want?
I just want to say hello. May I come aboard?
Yeah, get that, Betty. He says he just wants to say hello. Chimp and Jiminy, but he must think we're dumb.
All right, Yates, you can come aboard. Wait, I'll throw you a line.
Here's the line, Jack. I'll heave it to him. Here's your line, Yates. Watch out. Hey, you're going to bump into the schooner.
Well, it won't hurt your schooner. Come on, Ricardo. You come aboard with me.
Say, I don't like the looks of Ricardo. He's a Moro, isn't he, Jack?
He's a Moro, all right. You can't mistake those pantaloons and that turban. He's a mean-looking Moro, too.
Yeah, where's Captain Fairfield? Is he aboard?
No, Yates, he's ashore. Now, what's your business?
Wait a minute there, young fella. You don't have to look so grim and unpleasant. Can't we let bygones be bygones?
Jumping crickets, you want us to forget all the things you tried to do to us in Cotabango?
Well, that's all over now. You got the best of me, I'll admit it. I don't hold any hard feelings. After all, we white men have to stick together in this wild country of Mindanao.
We don't want to stick with you, Yates.
I'll say we don't. Now, suppose you tell us just what you want on board the Spindrift.
Why, I don't want anything especially. Just want to pass the time of day. Who's this Filipino? What's he doing here?
This is Michelle. He's part of our crew, if you must know.
Yeah, comes from Manila, doesn't he? Some part close to Manila. Michelle, ne parang astagal mula, sarang, kare la vida, arakang kanga. Huh?
What you say?
Kuri mula sage, ang mula wa sarakagara.
What you say, huh?
So your friend Michelle doesn't talk the dialect. Too bad. You could use him as an interpreter if he did.
You still haven't told us your real reason for coming aboard, Yates.
Oh, you're too suspicious, young fella. Didn't I see an army truck leave this dock just a few minutes ago?
Maybe you did, Yates. So what?
Sort of funny, isn't it, to unload your cargo on an army truck? You haven't anything to do with the army.
That's our business, Yates.
Well, no use acting uppity about it. I was just wondering. What did you unload on that truck?
You can just keep on wondering, Yates. You're pretty good at that.
Oh, it's something you want to keep secret, eh? Well, I'm not interested. It's no business of mine.
Suppose I ask a few questions, Yates.
I don't mind answering questions. I haven't anything to hide.
Is that your trading schooner anchored over there?
Why, sure, that's my trading schooner.
You didn't have that schooner when we saw you in Cotabango.
What's that to you, Billy Fairfield?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering, too.
Well, if you want to know, I'm in a little different form of trading now. I collect stuff up and down the coast and sell it here in Zamboanga.
What kind of stuff do you collect, Yates?
What's that? What business is it of yours?
You said you were willing to answer questions, but that question seems to upset you.
Upset me? Well, of course it didn't upset me. I don't mind telling you. I haven't anything to hide. I collect and sell spices.
Spices?
Well, what's so funny about that? Why are you staring at me so? What's so strange about collecting spices?
Well, what do you know about that? Spices of all things.
Why, isn't that odd, Jack? After what happened in the marketplace, to find...
Never mind about that, Betty. If Yates says he's trading in spices, then maybe he really is trading in spices.
Of course I'm trading in spices. What's that on your belt? Isn't that one of those pedometers some of the soldiers use around here when they go up in the hill?
Sure it is. Tell us how far you walk.
Well, if you haven't anything to do with the army, it's mighty queer that you have one of those pedometers on your belt. Those aren't for sale. Why do you want to see how far you walk?
We like to walk around and around the deck of the schooner, Yates, and see how many laps to a mile.
All right, don't tell me. I'm trying to be friends with you. If you don't want to be friends, well, that's your lookout. You mind if I take a look around deck?
Go right ahead, Yates. Look all you want. Maybe you can figure out what we loaded on that army truck.
Come on, Ricardo. I heard this ship went through a typhoon. Let's see how well it stood it.
I don't believe him one bit. He wants to find out something else.
Of course he does, Betty. We'll keep an eye on him and try to figure out what he's looking for.
Jack, he was certainly interested to know what we put in that army truck. Do you suppose he knows anything about the uranium?
I don't believe he does, Billy. If he knew we'd recovered that uranium from the sunken ship, he could have guessed what was in that truck.
Jack, wasn't that a funny coincidence that he's trading in spices?
I'm wondering if it isn't more than just a coincidence, Betty. That's why I stopped you before you could tell him what happened at the market. I don't want him to know that we found Professor Loring's watch and the wrist of the native who sold spices in the market.
Jumping chimney, I hadn't thought of that angle of it. Do you suppose Yates really has something to do with that native?
Well, we know one thing, Billy. We know that he sells spices to that man, and we know that man had Professor Loring's watch.
But he said he got it from an old Moro peddler, Jack.
That may be true, Betty. But if there's anything funny about that man at the market, then it certainly looks as though Yates might have something to do with it, too. There's a whole lot that needs explaining.
Well, I'll say there is. For one thing, how did Yates get hold of that trading schooner? We know he didn't have it before.
And another thing, why is Yates so interested in finding out if we have anything to do with the army? He's awfully worried about that.
And he keeps saying all the time that he hasn't anything to hide. So I just know that he's got a whole lot to hide.
Jack, look at Yates. He's trying to open the hatch to the main hold.
He's got his nerve. I just assume he didn't know that we have an autogyro airplane stowed down below. Hey, Yates, I didn't say you could open that hatch. Lay off.
He's not laying off. He and Ed Morrow are trying to force it open with a crowbar.
Come on, Billy. Come on, Michelle. We'll put a stop to that.
He's trying to get it open before we get there, Jack. He's almost got it open.
He won't get it open before we get there, Billy.
Hey, bad man, Senor Jack, but we stop him plenty quick.
Now, what's the idea, Yates? I told you to lay off opening that hatch.
So you have got something to hide in this ship, eh? Well, I'm going to find out what it is. Open it up, Ricardo. Tell you my cardock, Colita.
Lay off that, Ricardo.
Well, he's still trying to open it, Jack. Shall we jump over?
Just a minute, Billy. Yates, I'll give you one last warning. Tell that Morrow to leave that hatch alone and both you and he get off this ship.
Tell him yourself, young fella. We'll see if he obeys you.
All right, then we're going to throw you off the ship.
You and who else?
Boy, you don't think we can do it, do you? You don't think that Jack and Michelle and I can do it?
Stop talking, Billy. That Morrow will have this hatch cover off in a second. Michelle, can you handle the Morrow?
Me handle him very good, Senor Jack.
Good. Billy and I will take care of Yates.
All right, blast your hides. I'll knock your heads together for this. I'll teach you to interfere with me.
Look out, Jack. Watch out.
Take this, you young...
Jack. There, boy. I'll give you a tackle.
And Jack, grab his leg, Billy. I'll get his arm.
I'll get
him down. Boy.
Suckle.
Here's
Jack.
I get him down, Jack.
Now, we've got him, Billy. Where's Michelle? How's he getting on with that Morrow, Betty?
He chased the Morrow back into the Vena, Jack. He took the crowbar from the Morrow and chased him back into the Vena. See, he's standing on deck to keep the Morrow from coming back aboard.
That's great. Let Yates up, Billy. Yeah, I guess he'll leave the ship now.
I'll get you for this, Jack Armstrong. I won't forget.
I don't care what you don't forget. Will you get back, or shall we throw you overboard?
Yeah, I'll get back. But you'd better keep out of my way hereafter, young fellow.
We ought to throw him overboard anyway, just for good measure.
I would if it weren't for the sharks. All right, Yates, get back to your Vena. Quick, on the run.
Come on, Jack.
Let's see that he does shove off. There he goes over the side. He must think we'll change our minds and really throw him to the sharks.
No, too late. Here, I got Salaboo. No, panga me. Cigar.
What's he saying to the Morrow?
I wish I knew. Let's let him shove off.
Here comes Michelle. Maybe he could understand them. How about it, Michelle? Do you know what they were saying?
Me know, Senor Jack. Yates say we come back later and see if rifles on schooner.
Rifles? Why does he think we have any rifles on board?
Billy, that gives me an idea. I think I know what Yates is up to. Come on, we're going to see Uncle Jim.
Say, Jack really thinks he knows what Yates is up to. And Jack must think it's pretty important, too, because he's going to see Uncle Jim right away. There's something mighty mysterious about Yates and that trading schooner of his. You'll certainly want to follow this through and see what it's all about. So listen in, all of you, at this same time tomorrow for another thrilling episode of the Zamboanga Adventure with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Look, how would you like to have a standing date every morning with one of the best-tasting breakfast dishes you ever discovered? You would? Okay, then, here's what to do. Ask Mother to get you 2 or 3 packages of those extra good Wheaties flakes the next time she gets the groceries. Then tell her you want a breakfast of champions, that year-round training breakfast of great athletes every morning. Why, say, once you've tried Wheaties with milk and your favorite fruit, I'm willing to bet you'll be one of our best Wheaties boosters. And I'll bet, too, that you'll agree with millions of other fellas and girls that Wheaties taste like a million. Try them tomorrow morning, won't you?
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the piper, Hudson.